Hello world, it's Ivan, and this time I'm in Mexico. And today I'm in the dedication, in a day of dedication of the new Buddhist center in Cuernavaca, well, a new building where the Cuernavaca Buddhist center is gonna, it's gonna be. So I'm here with Sada Jyoti and Nagapriya, and I'm just gonna let them speak to talk a bit about what's Cuernavaca, where is Cuernavaca, what's Mexico, perhaps, where this Buddhist center started, and then, so yeah, if you want to introduce yourself, guys, and tell me your story.
Yes, hello, my name is Sada Jyoti. I was ordained in 2006, and right after ordination, I came back to Mexico, and I started, you know, working and giving my energy for the Dharma in the context of the Triratna activities. And since 2013, we have been here in Cuernavaca. We started this Buddhist center with Akash Vajri, Nagapriya, and myself in 2013. And just recently, just last month, we moved to this new house, and we just did the dedication ceremony, so we are celebrating, sort of, aren't we, Nagapriya?
If I remember correctly, in the first class that we did, there was one person,
yeah.
And that person was my ex-girlfriend.
That's right.
So things have moved on a little bit in 2.5 years. At the dedication today, there were about 50 people, I think. Many of our friends from the city of Mexico, but also many of our sangha here from Cuernavaca. So in those 2.5 years, things have, I think, grown steadily and quite well, not only in terms of numbers, but in terms of people deepening their practice. We've already got a group of mitras here, 10 or so. We've now started offering mitra study here in Cuernavaca just recently. So we have enough mitras to run a mitra study group. And we run various other activities each week. We have activities all weekends, pretty much, I think, every Saturday, every Sunday. Then there are classes on Tuesday, on Thursday, now on Friday. We're gradually offering kind of more and more things, including yoga, and we're just about to start with Qigong. And conscious mindful movement, something like that. Yeah, which is kind of a combination of yoga and mindfulness and things like this. So yeah, I mean, things have obviously developed well. There's still a long way to go to stabilize a sangha here. I would say maybe the next 5 years or so. And obviously we would like to attract some more order members to come and work with us as well. We started working more with Abhaya Gita, who previously was living in the city of Mexico, which is about an hour away. And we're also inviting some people from abroad to come and visit us and do activities here. So little by little, we think that we're starting to share the vision of Triratna with the people here in Cuernavaca.
Yeah.
What do you think, Sadhguru?
Yeah, well, Cuernavaca is situated like an hour away from Mexico City, towards the south, and it is called the City of Eternal Spring because it's at a much lower altitude compared to Mexico City. So the temperature and the sunshine, you know, and the weather is fantastic most of the year. So we have a very favorable situation here in Cuernavaca. And Cuernavaca is itself quite a big city. I think it's around 1.5 million people, perhaps, or
maybe
something like that.
Yeah,
so it's a substantial city, and it's got universities, and it's got, you know, quite a lot of activities and its own life, no? It's dependent from Mexico City in certain respects, but it's also a very independent and thriving city of itself, no? So we are very happy to be offering the Dharma here, and the response of people here in Cuernavaca has been fantastic. You know, we've had a lot of people coming and staying in our activities, and you know, the sanghas from Cuernavaca and Mexico City are starting to know each other, and you know, we also have another Buddhist center in Querétaro. So we have three Buddhist centers in the whole of the country, plus a couple of study groups or
groups
practicing of groups
in satellite groups
that's right, in Pachuca and Toluca. So it's a big sangha in Mexico. It's a big sangha, although it's attended by very few order members. We are only like 17 order members in Mexico, and about 50 people in the ordination process, and about, you know, hundreds of mitras. And there's a lot to do. There's many, you know, you need to be there, you know, with all your energy and all the time.
I mean, just to give you an idea, Upek Shamati, who's the director of the Mexico City Buddhist Center, was saying that they did a New Year's Day meditation at the Buddhist Center there, and 250 people came for the New Year's Day meditation. That gives an idea of how much interest there is. But coming back to Cuernavaca, one of the things that's interesting me about the Sangha that's starting to grow here is the diversity of our Sangha. I mean, for instance, it's probably fair to say that most of the people who develop interest in Buddhism are kind of middle-class people with professional backgrounds and with a certain level of money. And we do have quite a few of those people. But in addition to that, we're also starting to see more people from humbler backgrounds who really don't have very much money. And I find that really encouraging that we're starting to see more of a cross-section of people from Cuernavaca society rather than just, you know, very privileged people. To me, that's a sign that we're doing something right, and I definitely like to develop that further. I mean, just to give you an idea, any middle-class Mexican who has their own house will generally employ a señora, a lady, to clean her house. That's what people do. Nobody cleans their own houses. They get somebody else to clean them for them. And we've got, obviously, quite a few of those señoras coming to our sangha. But we've also got some of the people who do the cleaning of the houses coming to our sangha, which I think is brilliant, you know, and they get on really well as well. It's not like there's a kind of, you know, ranking between them, that like the señoras are kind of above the cleaners. I think that's brilliant, you know. And in addition, for instance, I know there's a lot of emphasis at the moment on attracting young people to Tree Rana. Our youngest student is 14.
And he already asked to become a mitra, so I guess in Buddha Day we're going to have a mitra ceremony for him. He will be 15 by then, hopefully.
And he's one of those from a humbler background as well, and sometimes he comes with his mum and with his sister as well. And that's another thing that has really interested me, that sometimes whole families come to an activity, or father and daughter, or mother and daughter, or mother and son. In fact, one of the mitras here called Sabine, she comes with her son, who's, you know, very seriously interested in the Dharma. They were on retreat together on the last retreat. And there are a couple of sisters as well on the recent retreat. This is something that I've not really seen so much in Europe, but seems very, you know, much more common here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what else, Ivan?
That's really good. And I just found it very interesting when you were talking about your practice. I found, I'd be saying to people here that not all the other members around the world teach. Someone was saying like, oh yeah, he's training to be an order member, to be a teacher. And I said, no, not quite. Not an order member is not a teacher. But perhaps for the demand in here, most order members end up teaching. And you obviously, while you are at this Buddhist center, start activities and taking part very much of everything in the order in here. So if you can share just a bit, just to finish, about your own practice. And
I'll start on that.
Okay.
We were on retreat recently at Chintamani, which is a beautiful retreat center about 40 minutes away from Cuernavaca. It really is a wonderful place, and we have the opportunity to do all our retreats there. But we were on retreat, and I think in one moment Sarajyoti said, look, you know, here we are all on retreat, we're going to have these study groups, but you know, don't think of the order members in those groups as teachers, as maestros. What they are friends. And I thought you really captured something really important, because one of the things that happens very easily in Mexico is a really, really sharp hierarchy develops between the teachers and the students, and it actually can be quite difficult to get over that gap. And you know, on the one hand, it can mean that people are very receptive, but on the other, it can create a lot of projections. And then when people start to see that order members are human beings, they can be very, very disappointed and even quite angry. So although, you know, on the one hand, we could say that well, Sarajoti and I here, you know, we're teachers, you know, we study the Dharma, we communicate the Dharma as teachers. I think we would probably want to agree that actually our role is more to befriend people and to help to create a sangha with them than to be their teachers. And I think, to be honest, if we present ourselves as being their teachers and that's our kind of main model, we're going to enter into a lot of problems over the next few years.
Yeah, my sense is more, rather than teaching the Dharma, I think of sharing the Dharma, no? Sharing the Dharma, because, of course, sharing the Dharma with others, it's got a spark and a potential to ignite my own inspiration, as nothing else has in my practice, no? So this aspect of sharing the Dharma with others, either, you know, study as in the form of study groups or meditation classes or pujas, I find it really inspiring. So in order to be able to share the Dharma with others, of course you have to be practicing. Your personal practice has to have a lot of depth and it has to be very substantial and very, you know, connected, in a way connected to what you're doing in your teaching activities, no? So I find that is a very interesting challenge. To keep feeding both the teaching and the personal practice, because in a way they are interacting all the time, they are not separate, no? So for me that's very it's a very rich aspect of working in a Buddhist center. It's something that I really enjoy and I would recommend it to other order members to do it.
Now, I don't know how you feel, but I feel that to be running a Buddhist center and sharing the Dharma in the way that you described means that you're being constantly called into question. You know, the sincerity, the depth of your own going for refuge is constantly being reflected back to you. And, you know, you can't afford to allow yourself to be slipping into negative mental states and acting from those, because they have a big effect on the Sangha. People are influenced by how we behave. And, you know, if you're constantly giving talks about the Bodhisattva ideal, you know, it requires you to think a little bit about, well, where do I stand in relation to that? In what way am I actually trying to fulfill the Bodhisattva ideal in my own life? And there's really just no escape. That's what it feels like. You're being constantly confronted with the mirror of your own mind, and, you know, constantly having the kind of the measure of the Buddhist teachings with which to examine your own ethical practice, your own relationships with other people, your own meditation and so on. There's nowhere to hide, really.
And it's really important that we emphasize this aspect of us as friends rather than teachers, because of course people are going to see us make mistakes and they are going to see us, you know, as human beings, sometimes confused and sometimes angry, I don't know, and sometimes unskillful behaviors, because I mean we are on the way, we are practicing as well, we are not perfect human beings, so I think it is very important to keep that that real, you know, it gives it a lot of reality to be able to share the Dharma with people in that context, not in the in the position of the teacher, but in the position of a friend, perhaps with a bit more experience, but just wanting to share the Dharma and wanting to become a better human being as anybody else.
And I mean, it can be quite tempting, I think, to fall into this role of teacher, you know, particularly when people who arrive, they say, you know, thank you, maestro, or they're constantly referring to you as maestro, maestra. Can I help you, maestro? Would you like some cake, maestro? Can I make you some tea, maestro? And I think it's very easy, I think, to start falling into this projection, because obviously the person is seeing something else. They're seeing a role or they're seeing an ideal that is reflected through you. They're not they're not seeing you.
Exactly.
And then to if you like, make them see you by showing what you're like, it can feel quite dangerous at times, because you feel like, well, now they're going to be really disappointed because they're going to see, you know, actually, I get irritated and, you know, I'm not always the most patient person or whatever it is that they might see. But equally, I think we know that it's really important to resist entering into that sort of projection dynamic because of the problems that can follow from it. And you know, to have the confidence that if we do show our humanity, that at least some of the people who come along will respond to that, you know, and that will allow us to develop deeper relationships with them that are real relationships, not based on a fantasy of a role that we might be playing.
But real friendships with potential of deepening as well. Yeah. Yes, and another aspect of the practice that I think is very interesting that develops when you're working in a Buddhist center is the need to have an eye in the present and another eye in the future, you know, like looking at our vision and what we want to accomplish in the future. And through that vision, keeping alive our inspiration, but also dealing with the daily stuff that sometimes can be quite demanding and absorbing, but needs to be dealt with. And, you know, to have both perspectives alive in your practice is also very interesting.
Yes, I mean, Sarajoti is equally adept at kind of knocking nails into walls to hang up pictures, as she is in kind of thinking about, well, where are we going with the Buddhist Center? Mm-hmm. And where are we going?
Where are we going? Well, we are going towards the construction of a very solid and healthy Sangha, hopefully. And I would really like to see much more connection between the Sangha in Cuernavaca and the Sangha in Mexico City and in Querétaro. You know, I would like to see people really moving from one place to another and feeling the same at home, and continuity that is really inspiring, and the continuity that you feel when you go to Amsterdam or to San Francisco or to Birmingham, and you get to see, you know, how Triratna expresses itself in different cultures but with its own, you know, flavor. And I would like that flavor to be very tangible and very present in this center and in the other centers in Mexico. Mm.
Well, I would like to see lots more centers.
Lots more centers.
I would like to see lots more
order members
in Mexico.
Definitely.
I mean,
Dharmacharinis. We need Dharmacharinis.
Dharmacharis, both. yeah, I mean, it's perhaps it's easy to forget that that Mexico is a long way away from large bodies of the order. I mean, there are 17 order members in Mexico, that's all. And, you know, how many there are in Europe, I don't know, 1,000 maybe, something like that, huge numbers. And yet, you know, those 17 order members are doing huge amounts of Dharma work, but they can be quite isolated. I mean, some of the order members here have never visited Europe, as I understand it.
Yeah, some of them haven't.
Obviously, some of them don't speak English either, so they don't all have access to the English-speaking Triratna. You know, not all of them speak English as well as Sarajoti can. So, you know, we really need to find ways to connect with the wider order and also to grow the order more here so that there's more support for people who are living in Mexico who can't afford to travel or don't have the language skills or the health or whatever it might be. That for me, for the future, that's really, really important.
To make the world become smaller, for all the Sangha to be connected.
I completely agree. That's partly why we're doing
what
this
you're
interview.
Doing this, that's right, yes.
Well, so thank you very much, guys.
Well, thank you, Ivan. Thank you for coming to Mexico and
all the best
all
luck.
Work.
Now this has been recorded and it's been shared, and now we can see it in 5-10 years' time and see how much we we've
how
done.
see how many more nails Sarajoti has.
Yes.
if Bante gets to hear or to see any of this, I would like to thank Bante for the gift of the Dharma and to let him know that, well, things are thriving in Mexico. And thanks to him, with all our heart.
I would like to thank the Mexican Sangha for welcoming me so warmly to Mexico and kind of helping me to connect with the Dharma again through Spanish and through this culture, Latin American culture. What a gift.
Oh, I love you guys.
And now we can end up all kissing each other.
Yes, I want to quote that. Thank you. Bueno, muy bien.